name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back to another week of the podcast. We don't have a theme this month. We are just free falling. But we will...
Love that song. I
know. It's like the... I feel like if I did...
You did not know I love that song because I don't.
What? You don't love that song?
That's fine.
You just lied to the podcast? Okay.
These people in band when I was in high school, these two trombones would always play like the chorus of that song.
Free.
And it was super annoying.
Free fun. Anyways, we'll get to the question of the week quick. What is your favorite style of shoes? Do you prefer slides, sandals, tennis shoes, boat shoes, high heels, flats?
Oh, y'all call them tennis shoes up there?
Yeah, what do you call them?
Tennis shoes.
Yeah, it's not.
But some people, okay, it honestly took me a long time to realize that they were tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And not just like tennis shoes. Yeah. Anyway, I did not know we were going that general. I was going to say the Jordan Space Jam 11s.
You can go as specific as you want. I'll have to look those up. I don't know what those are.
Those are nice. Also, the Win Like 83 11s, which are like white with a navy blue like base around them. But the Jordan symbol is Carolina blue. I really like those.
Right now, I'm rocking slippers most of the time. But I would have to say... Okay, so I have like a weird, I guess I didn't think I was going to go into this level of detail, but I am. But I have like a weird foot thing where I used to go.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I used to go like, so it's called like zero drop. So basically your shoes don't have arches. They're just literally like, you know, those like Vibram five fingers. My ex-boyfriend used to wear those to the gym. I made fun of him all the time. I don't think he listens to this. Chris, if you listen to this, I'm still making fun of you 3 years later. But I think my favorite, I love a tennis shoe. I also love like a good slip on. I had a pretty good pair of Allbirds that I liked that lasted me a while. So I guess if I had to pick, I'd probably say those. I've never wanted to wear like fancy shoes or, you know, high heels or anything. So I would say, yeah, tennis shoes.
I dropped a link to the shoes that I like in the chat. If you want to look at them.
Yeah, now I got to look at them quick.
But while you're looking at those, I also, right now I have a pair of Ultra Boosts. They're gray Ultra Boosts, and I really, really like them.
Oh, Colby, these are ugly. I'm sorry. I do not like these. Ooh.
Wow. Wow.
We have a special guest this week. Her name is Megan Pulvermacher, and she is a friend of mine, but she is also a lifestyle and mindset coach at Living Head First, which is her brand, her lifestyle, her motivation. She's great. We're going to talk today about how to stay positive in a pandemic and other stressful situations. Megan, what's up? How are you doing tonight?
Best night ever so far. Cannot complain.
That's great. What are you drinking?
Right now, I'm at the tail end of a Forgotten Star Ginger Lou, which is a refreshing but bold sour from a local brewery in Minneapolis.
Have you been doing the pickups?
Yes. I got this one curbside pickup. Didn't have to look at anyone, talk to anyone, do anything except sit in my car, and he just put it in my trunk.
Ooh.
That's great. I picked up a cocktail, or I'm picking it up on Friday. I picked up a cocktail kit, so they come with four mixers and then like a small bottle of vodka, and it makes eight cocktails. So that's what I'm doing for the foreseeable future.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for that.
I'm just going to the ABC store.
I don't know what that means.
It's the liquor store.
Oh.
I'm honestly pretty excited to get some takeout and a growler this weekend, because there's like a bingo thing going on where if you get a meal from a local restaurant or whatever in local breweries, you get bingo cards. And then on Facebook Live, you can win gift cards to go back to those places if you get the stuff by a certain time on Saturday. So I will be playing that.
Remember when we won bingo that one time? Well, we didn't win, but...
I do. And it was fantastic because it meant lots of free things for you and I.
Yes, that was great. That was a good night.
How did you win bingo, but you didn't win bingo?
Our friend won. So our friend won like $700.
So you didn't win
bingo? No, we didn't win. We were associated with the winner.
Yeah, it's like similar to the 5 second rule. It's the 3 foot rule. If somebody within 3 feet of you, this is before social distancing.
Pre-corona.
If somebody within 3 feet of you wins bingo, you also won bingo, but yeah. Also didn't.
It was great. We then we went axe throwing. We got pizza and booze, and it was a fun night. But we are not doing that now because we are all stuck in our homes.
Most of us, not all of us.
Yeah,
some people are out there doing the good stuff in the hospitals.
Yes, and yeah, we thank them for their service. Before we get into the heavy hitting questions, I'm going to start off with some fun ones. Your first one is, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I and what do I do? Well, I am, like you said, Megan Pulvermacher, more commonly known as Megs, kind of like X, but it's like me, but I'm plural. And like you said, I'm a lifestyle mindset coach, which basically means that everything I do, everything I put on social media, everything I teach and live for and stand for is basically around this idea of kind of cultivating this strong, positive growth mindset while also having fun and making personal development and making your life the best it can possibly be, whatever that means for you, as accessible to as many people as possible. So that's kind of what I aim to do in anything I do on social media, in my life. I host a super dope happy hour series that, you know, obviously is suspended for now, but it's really fun. And you know that, Martha, because you've been to it.
I've been to it and I have been a bad friend and I've only been to one. So I need to make more effort. But yes,
they keep getting bigger and better. And what I try to do is teach people things and help them discover things about themselves, create more positive connections and stuff through having more fun and incorporating more play into their lives, which is, I can't think of a better job.
Hell yeah. Love to hear it. And then just for the record, and I know this is not necessarily important, but what's your favorite frozen pizza?
Oh, this is so important. And it is Jack's, as I'm sure the greater good would agree with.
What is Jack's?
I was going to ask, Kobe, I don't know if we've ever talked about your favorite frozen pizza before, but...
I think we had, and I said Red Baron. No, I said the Walmart brand, because it's a banger.
What is that, Sam's Choice?
Yes. I think it's Sam's Choice, yeah.
You know, I haven't had Sam's Choice pizza in a while, but it would be all right. I wouldn't be mad.
But what is Jack's, is that a Minnesota thing?
I don't think so.
Well, if you've never heard of it, it makes me wonder if it's more regional.
It's very similarly branded to Tombstone, I feel like.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you can buy Jack's at a gas station, and I brought them because, you know, I don't really like hot dogs or hamburgers. I don't know if I've ever said that publicly before, but I've brought them to cookouts and people would grill the Jack's for me. So I have had Jack's before. I'm not saying it's like horrible. It's just not my favorite.
Right.
But Megan is a diehard Jack's fan and we argue about it every time.
I mean, I think it's somewhere between, it's kind of that in between Roma. Do you know Roma pizza?
Mm-mm, never heard of Roma.
Oh, those are like $2.50 pizzas, like $2.50. So they're great in like a collegiate setting.
Well, Totino's is $1.29.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know about the party pizza.
Think about that. All right, let's get into the questions that I have for you. Colby, do you just want to ask the first one?
Mix, how are you?
I'm so well.
How are you doing? How are you holding up?
I am really hanging in there so far today. You know, it varies.
Do you take it more day by day or you like, because I feel like I'm kind of doing bad at taking it day by day. Like, I think I feel like I'm just a little bit overwhelmed that I'm like, I want to say like my entire state, like state of being is overwhelmed rather than like today I'm good. So follow-up question.
So I'm probably one of the most extroverted people on planet Earth.
This is true.
And I live alone. So this has been really, really, really hard in that I'm, you know, by myself all the time and I'm in Zoom meetings all the time and Google Hangouts and all of that stuff that I think everybody is doing. But I think the way that I'm getting through it best is probably taking it day by day and just kind of calibrating where I'm at with my mood. Do I need to connect more today? Do I need to go inward more today? Do I need to just chill and like watch Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and kind of seeing where I am, what I need, and how I can best get that. Because I don't really have the option to be around the energy of other people in person unless I was being a dick and going out and not hashtag keep your ass home.
I think that's super interesting because I feel like, Martha, you're in between the two of us.
Yeah, I am.
Where I am very introverted. I love...
Colby's like thriving.
I wouldn't say I'm thriving, but I'm not going to lie. I've been like not having to go anywhere and not having to be social has been pretty... It's been pretty nice. To be fair, I do live with my significant other. So I do get a little bit of human, a lot of human interaction every day, but like not hanging out with friends and not having to come up with excuses for why I don't want to hang out. It's been really, it's been a good time.
Yeah. My girlfriend is staying at her mom's house right now.
Oh.
And this is her, she tells me every single day, this is my dream come true. She's chilling at the basement in her mom's house, hanging out with the dog. She doesn't have to go out and hang out with anyone. She only has to talks to me and her mom and her sister every day, and she is loving it.
Wait, okay, now I have a question about this because I used to think that since I'm so introverted, like I feel like I should be with someone who's a lot more extroverted than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started dating my partner and she is also pretty introverted and it's so great. I really enjoy us being on that same level. So how do you balance that?
Well, I think when, so Grace has a rule that if she has the opportunity to be social, somebody invites her to do something, she makes herself do it because otherwise she knows that she'll just be inside all the time and not go out or she won't initiate or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we are long distance though. She technically lives in London. So we're kind of living these lives that are in, you know, different parts of the world and all our communication is virtual or over phone anyway. But when we lived together in Minneapolis, we really kind of would just trade off days. Like I would usually come up with or create an opportunity for us to be social. But we also were very intentional, I think, about staying home and chilling too. Because I don't mind doing that. I just every so often at least need to get out and be around the people.
For sure.
I don't think anyone, I mean, like, I think it's different. Everyone likes having a night home now and again, like even the most hardcore extrovert. But I think now that we're forced to stay home and have nights at home all the time, I think it's a little bit different. Like, I don't know what life's going to look like in a month when we're maybe allowed to go outside again. Like, I don't know what that's going to feel like. Like, maybe I'm going to be the most extroverted person ever. I don't know. But I think you're right. Like, it's good to take it day by day. And I'm happy you still get to connect with your partner, even though, you know, you're not together. I think I do live alone-ish. My mom comes home for about, like, 2 to 3 hours every day. And I think if I didn't have her to, like, talk to and hang out with, like, I would be in a much worse situation. Because I do need, like, a little bit of social interaction. Like, it's great to Zoom call with people. It's great to text them. But being in the physical presence of something, and like, I think that is a little bit different than, you know, always texting. So that's sort of where I'm at. Like, this week has been good. I mean, what, it's Wednesday? Yeah, this week has been, oh my God, it's Wednesday. Wow. Wow. Anyways, this week has been good, but I think last week was pretty difficult. So yeah, I guess I'm like on a week by week basis. I don't know. We'll see. Talk to me next week.
Literally, as we were talking about hanging out with my friends, one of my friends texted me, "Hey, do you want to do like a Jackbox party right now?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want to do that." Because I'm talking to you two wonderful people, of course.
Obviously. I have a Zoom birthday party after this, so I'm excited for that. But I can't do it every day. Are you, Megan, are you finding yourself having like a Zoom hangover? Like having too many Zoom calls or like too much interaction? I don't know.
Far too much. Far too much.
Really? Really?
Well, here's the thing. So I am a lifestyle and mindset coach as the job that I am aspiring to have primarily, but I'm a school psychologist by day. So I spend right now, my schedule has been from like 10 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm in all different like Google Hangout meetings. So I'm looking at my computer all day. And if you have been to a meeting at work, you know that a lot of meetings you go to aren't really relevant to you, mm-hmm. or it's just a bunch of bullshit, but you have to be present at them. So it's almost like worse because I have to like physically move myself into this space and stare at the computer that I've already been at. I'm zoning out even more than I would in a normal meeting, and all of those things are happening. So yeah, by the time I'm getting to the virtual happy hour, which is great and I love doing, it's like, you know, it would be nice to, I don't know, just be able to interact with people without the like that you get when Zoom gets glitchy and stuff like that.
Yeah. My boss described it as rubber bandy. Like your voice mm-hmm. gets rubber bandy. I don't know if I like that description, but it makes sense.
I normally get robot-y.
Yeah. That's maybe a better word.
I have a question, extrovert to introverts.
Okay.
Sure.
Is the part of, I guess, is being in like a video setting where it's like easy to reject, but also like the parts that you don't have to do because everything is virtual, does that lend itself to what introverts would prefer? Like you don't have to leave the house, you don't have to get dressed, do whatever. Is that helpful at all or more desirable from a social standpoint?
I think it's harder to keep track of where your social energy is. Because it's so easy that you can just you literally click three buttons and then you're with all your friends. So it's very easy to, like Martha was talking about, the Zoom burnout is very easy to come by. And it happened for me in like 2 days. I'm like, okay, I'm done with this for a while. I will only do the Zooms that I have to, and I'll talk to you in about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I think I appreciate the creativity that's been happening. So like I figured out a way to stream movies. So like my friends and I, we all watched Cats, and that was really fun. And then like one night we had a bingo night, and I thought that was fun. I don't know if anyone else did, but I've been appreciating that. But I do feel like, and this is maybe just such a superficial thing, I feel like Zoom filters like don't make you look good, and I feel like I look better in person. And I just like don't want everyone to see my ugly quarantine face.
I think you're smoking hot in person, Martha.
Thank you. I know I am. But I think that's maybe dumb and superficial, but that's sort of like,
no, like my coworkers are seeing all the Colby at Home hair. Like they're seeing the twists, they are seeing the cornrows, all the stuff that I don't have.
Oh, I put the Zoom filter on immediately. The one where it like blurs your face a little bit. I put that on and I think I look better. But before I was like, ooh, like my skin has been breaking out more because I don't think I've been doing that good of job at skincare. And I was like, y'all don't need to see that because that's ugly.
I think it's offered us some really entertaining social media material, though. Like the lady who went to the bathroom in her Zoom meeting.
Oh boy.
The boss who turned herself into a potato.
Oh my God. I was laughing so hard at that. I sent that to my entire team. I was like, guys, I think we should do this.
Oh, I think that would just be phenomenal to have happen right before, like we have an IEP meeting or something and we're having to talk really seriously to a parent about something, but you know, the principal has to be a potato. Would be the best.
It's worth a shot. But that's actually our next question.
Mm.
Yeah, have you seen any good memes about this? What's your favorite? This is not what we're supposed to do. I wrote it down because I thought it'd be a good question. But
have I seen any good memes about coronavirus?
Yeah.
I think my favorite meme right now you put in your story yesterday, and it's the one with Justin Timberlake. And I can't remember. I know it ends with, it's going to be May.
It's, yeah, yeah. Like, roses are gray, violets are gray. The next time you go outside, it's going to be May. Which it's a good one.
So simple, but so good. I feel like I would have a greater appreciation for the memes right now if I had watched Tiger King, because there are so many.
There are a lot, and they are plentiful.
I get that Carol obviously killed her husband, fed him to the tigers or whatever.
Listen, I don't think she killed her husband anyway. Continue.
Well, no, let's get into this. Colby, okay, so I watched like half of the first episode. I know Carol was this person, this rival, this like animal rights tiger activist, I guess.
One of the animal rights people.
Yeah, put that on your resume. But so she, and then like killed her husband? Like that was the plot line with her? Or like what? Can you explain it?
So her husband, so she married this really rich dude. She actually, they were in an affair while he was married to another woman. They got divorced and he married Carol. Apparently things weren't great. And one day he said he was going to fly to like Costa Rica or something, and they lived in Florida, and he had like his own plane, but he doesn't have a pilot's license. So like he took like one pilot's license test and he failed, and he was like, I don't want to do it anymore, but he has a plane because he's rich. And one day he said he was going to go flying, and he never came back. So Joe Exotic thinks that she killed her husband and fed him to the tigers, is his theory. And then the other weird thing is that in his will it said in case of death or disappearance, which is not a common verbiage in wills.
I would think not. No.
So what I think happened is he disappeared, she saw an opportunity, went and got the documents, doctored them, so they said disappearance, and then took all his money is what I believe happened.
Damn. What is your daily routine for, you know, being at home and staying upbeat and staying positive? I see you have all these dance stories and push-up challenges. Have those things been contributing to your overall like positivity and your overall mindset?
Yeah, I would say they definitely contribute to my mindset staying positive, or when it's in kind of a shitty place, I'm able to bring myself out of it because I have strategies to like move my body or to, I guess, implement a certain type of practice with journaling or doing dance parties, those types of things. I try to start every day with gratitude, which is super cliche, right? But it really does help to just kind of pay attention to the little things that are going well, even though we're all living inside of a major shitstorm. It's kind of helpful to just be like, damn, it's pretty lucky that I have a super comfy bed. It's really awesome that I have heat. It's really great that I, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel on toilet paper over here, honestly, and I haven't gotten up early enough to actually get some more, but I still have like 4 rolls left and it's just me. So
that's like 4 weeks.
Can make it work.
Yeah, we're at a good time for that, I think. And but I walk into my kitchen, I've got food every day, you know, just like little things like that that a lot of people don't have. And especially working in the school setting that I do, I'm very aware of a lot of the things other people don't have. So the gratitude is super important. And then I try to incorporate as much fun and connection around that fun as I can into a day. So I've been doing a bunch of like live dance parties with different people on Instagram, or I just dance on Instagram by myself. I have certainly no problem doing that. And moving my body, I guess, is really helpful. I'm hugely into fitness. I love working out. I super miss the gym and just moving heavy weight and stuff like that. So I try to find different ways to just move and be really intentional about changing my state and my energy. So if I'm high energy, maintaining that and really getting myself amped up and ready to be productive and connecting with people and getting stuff done, or taking myself from a place where I'm at low energy and I'm like, damn, like whatever it was today, like 4,300 deaths, I need to pull myself out of the pit of like, maybe turn off my New York Times push notifications would be a good place to start probably. But also just shift my energy with music is a great vehicle that I use to do that, both lyrically and rhythmically, to just kind of put myself into a place where I'm a little more positive, feeling good, and everything doesn't feel so heavy, I guess. So those are kind of the big things that I do, and a shitload of caffeine as well. I drink a lot of coffee.
I drink a lot of wine.
So those things that you said that you were struggling with, do you think that those are the things that most people are struggling with right now? Or what have you noticed people not being able to, or maybe they're having trouble bringing their spirits up during the time of the Rona?
Ugh, the time of the Rona.
Yeah, we call it the Rona, just in case you needed to know that.
I love the Rona. I mean, I don't love the Rona, but right. I think it's an appropriate way to address it such that we make it approachable and something that we can talk about fairly easily while also, you know, keeping it serious or whatever.
No one calls it influenza. We call it the flu. Why are we calling it coronavirus? It's the Rona.
Exactly. When you abbreviate anything, it makes it a little bit better, I think. Or, an easier pill to swallow. But I think with the Rona, some common themes that I feel like I'm seeing is just this high level of anxiety simply because of the uncertainty. Because maybe you're getting these push notifications that are like, all these people are dead, or this many people were recovered, or Joe Diffie, who's saying Pickup Man, died. And people don't necessarily know the gravity of what that means, what it means for them, how it actually relates to their life. And it's just really uncertain. So whether they know what it truly means for them or not, their anxiety levels just go way up. And then they're like, holy shit, what? I don't even know what to do with this feeling. I think is largely what I'm hearing from a lot of people, particularly at work when we do wellness check-ins. You know, what's going well for you? What are you feeling? What sucks? I mean, there's just so much uncertainty, whether it's, you know, financial or health or figuring out how the hell to homeschool your kids or whatever else is going on for people out there. It's just a lot of like, we don't know what, we don't know how long, we don't know what it's going to look like after this is all, you know, quote unquote, over, is a lot of what's going on. So I think bringing people to a place where they can take it day by day and they can find little ways to manage how they're feeling is really helpful if they can figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I think that's, you're right. Like we really don't know how long this is going to go on. We don't know if we're going to be affected by it long term. Like I have a friend that's, her wedding is June 20th. And I feel like that's right on the border of, you know, being viable or not. So I think that's, you know, important to recognize that, like, yeah, this is a really big thing and really scary, but you can also take steps to protect yourself and to, you know, make your current living situation as safe as possible for yourself. Which is like sort of a comfort for me, at least. Like I went to Target today and I was like pretty stressed out. Like people were not necessarily staying 6 feet apart and it was like pretty nervous. I was pretty nervous. So yeah, like I think just, you know, control what we can control and I don't know, we'll get through it. But back to your point about the, you know, the stress levels, I was at a therapy appointment and my therapist brought up this thing, and I don't remember the term, but maybe you'll know since this is literally your job. But she said there's like this, there's these, this upper limit and lower limit to like our emotions for the day. And like normally we're kind of on a curve throughout the day. And, you know, we normally don't hit that upper limit so much. But when we do, like we are now, like we're hitting our upper limit more often, is that we have less time to like do something. And like, as we hit that upper limit, we're losing the ability to sort of add anything else to our plate right now. And I feel like that's a big thing that a lot of people are experiencing. I'm lucky to also have a job and like be able to pay my bills right now, which is amazing. And I'm very thankful for that. But, you know, I'm already at that upper limit, and I think anything else would just like push me over. So I definitely feel that stress. Do you know what that's called? Have you ever heard of that? Did I just make that up?
The upper limit of anxiety. I'm not exactly sure what that's called, but when you were talking about it, what I was picturing was what you maybe see in like sports psychology a lot. This one's for you, Colby.
I take a sports psychology class.
Where there's kind of that level of optimal anxiety where you sort of have this heightened awareness, right? And it gets you in this space where you're ready to play. And maybe we get to that point. Maybe this would have been like the week of St. Patrick's Day, where people are like heightened and we're like, okay, yep, washing my hands. I'm going to make sure that I'm 6 feet away. I'm super hyper aware of what's going on, and I'm ready to defend myself, protect other people or whatever. And that was kind of this optimal level of anxiety. And then when you go beyond that, that's when a lot of people kind of start to get what you might call kind of crazy, or they might be an asshole or whatever. And I also went to Target today, and one of the things I noticed is that people are like zooming around the store. Like, what I have to do and who I need to take care of is more important than whatever you have to do, because they're so anxious and hyper aware of their own shit mm-hmm. that they can't really pay attention to the little nuances like, well, you just brushed elbows with me. So probably in your rush to get whatever trail mix you needed in mass quantities, you maybe just caught yourself the Rona because you weren't paying attention to the little details of what the hell is actually going on, because you're so freaked out about where you need to go and getting out of the store, whatever. It just kind of makes people crazy and unable to pay attention to the little details that maybe actually matter. And yeah, when you hit that limit, you can't add anything else. Maybe if you're already here, and then, you know, your grandma starts like having a hard time breathing or gets a fever or something, then it's like, holy hell, the whole thing boils over. And how are you supposed to handle your shit then? And I think that's what's freaking a lot of people out, is they're like, the plate is full and I don't know what's coming next. Everybody keeps saying it's going to get worse. So how do I get some of this off of my plate or handle what keeps getting added to it, seemingly?
It's like what happens after the first 5 minutes of a rivalry game in basketball or football. When the first 5 minutes, everybody's hustling, everybody's running as hard as they can, diving for all the loose balls, maybe a little bit chippy. And then after that, it's like, okay, what do we have left? Mm-hmm. And for some people, they can't manage it well. And it's from like no fault of their own, it just gave too much in the first 5 minutes, and then what happens after that?
Yeah, and it's scary because one term, I don't know if your therapist has ever used this, but if you've heard of allostatic load,
nope,
at all, it's kind of how you calibrate what normal is. And right now, everybody keeps talking about this new normal, and our new normal is to be super heightened and kind of freaked out and hypervigilant about all this different stuff. And I think it's actually going to be really interesting as it starts to come down, how long it takes for people to like not give quite as big of a shit about using hand sanitizer, washing yeah. their hands, or, you know, wiping down their grocery carts as they walk in, or like stuff like that.
I wonder, so after now I know this term and that there's like science behind it. I've been talking with a lot of my POC friends who are like, hey, I feel like everybody or a lot of my white friends are freaking out about this a lot more than we are. And I honestly think that part of it is that our base level of stress is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
That, like someone said, this is just, if it wasn't this, it'd be something else.
It's just, yeah.
It's just kind of figuring it out from there. And I think that people of color, other marginalized groups can kind of feel that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In a way that people of privilege maybe not, maybe don't feel it that often and aren't as prepared to how to react.
Oh, yeah. I think for, white people or anybody in a state of privilege, like everything, the cards always get dealt in their favor, right? So if anything feels out of whack or like they don't have access, like why the hell do I not have toilet paper right now? I always get toilet paper and I deserve toilet paper. And they're, I think groups who are used to getting the short end of the stick are probably like, yeah, like fucking welcome to the club, man.
It's not always possible to stay positive, I guess, for me at least. But are there any times that you can't stay positive? And if so, how do you deal with that?
Yes, there are times that I cannot stay positive. And I'm just like, you know what? This is a shitty day. And I am sad or I'm disappointed. I feel disconnected, whatever. And what I've really learned to do is just kind of acknowledge when that's happening or to be self-aware of it, kind of call it out. Journaling really helps me with that. And to just allow it to be a shitty day and be like, you know what? I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to binge out on some Netflix or Hulu. I'm going to watch somebody else's problems unfold. That's actually something that I think is really helpful. When I feel like I've got my own shit or I'm feeling shitty, I'll watch something that's going worse for someone else that isn't even real. And it kind of helps me zone out, numb out, and feel better and just get up and try it again the next day.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever got was when I was an RA. The first year I was an RA, we had all the returners around us. There were maybe like less than 10 returners to more than 20 first year RAs. So they asked the returners, hey, we got a lot of people who've never done this before. What is something they need to learn how to do? And one of the older RAs, Connor, he was a senior. I love him forever. He said, you need to learn how to have a bad day well. And I had never once considered that I could have a bad day well. And like ever since then is every time I wasn't up because I tend to be a pretty positive person. But every time I have a day that's like not going the way I planned in any shape or form, is exactly what you say. Acknowledge it. Let it happen, because there are so many things that are out of my control that I can't, there's nothing I can do about it, and just let the wave kind of come.
Yeah, I think that's something that we all have to learn how to do, because there's so much information and push out there to be in a good mood all the time, to want to be social, to be positive and whatever. And it's just not reality. That's why like the movie Inside Out was so mind-blowing, because they're like, yeah, sadness is important. It's cool to have shitty days because it helps you have this whole human experience and helps you appreciate the days that are good even more. So I think that's a hard lesson to learn and something really tough to implement, but super important to being, a human.
And also, emotions can be mixed. Like, you're on your bad days, you're allowed to be happy for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's allowed to be happy. Like, just like baseline, like, we know this is a very hard time for a lot of people, but all of us, I guess, I'm speaking for both of you, but we hope you find some sort of happiness, whether it's listening to our podcast or watching Tiger King. We hope you're finding something that you can sit back and enjoy and put your feet up for a little bit.
For sure. But I do think that something, at least for me, when I'm having a bad day and like something good happens, I'm like, why is something good happening on my bad day? It's like it's messing up my flow of my bad day. And it's like, oh, wait, yeah, I'm allowed to not let, even though I'm having a bad day and I'm letting those feelings come, I'm allowed to, if something good happens, I'm allowed to accept that and roll with it, take it.
Megan, do you have any final pieces of advice for us before we wrap up? Any words of wisdom?
I think my number one piece of advice almost always is to remember that while life is a serious thing, the way that you live it just isn't that serious. Any one given day isn't that serious. And it's okay to have fun. It's okay to not have fun. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to feel any way that you feel and just allow that to be. And to maybe not let the overarching energy that is around you dictate what you do and how you feel, and to understand that you have control over the things that you expose yourself to, be that the news, the social media, the people that you are in Zoom happy hours with, or whatever you're doing. And you can alter that to fit the way that you want your life to look while you are staying at home. And that could look like dance parties. That could look like reading a book. That could look like binging Netflix. That could look like sleeping a lot. And whatever it takes to make this whole situation work for you, that's okay. And if anybody tells you that it's not, they can fuck right off.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Jinx. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Martha and Colby Grow Up. And thank you to our special guests, Megan. You can find her on Instagram at @LiveHeadFirst. And you can listen to her podcast, Head First Radio, where you get podcasts, where you get this podcast. You can also find that podcast. We'll see you next week. Find us online at www.MarthaAndColby or on Twitter and Instagram at @MarthaAndColby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. I forgot what I was going to ask. Okay, so what is sort of your daily routine? Mm-mm,
do it again.
Fine.